If you wasn't here Sunday, probably all of you been here since we started this series for sure. And we preached under the title Sunday morning, I Have Victory Over the Blessings. And that seems odd probably to a lot of people. And it will for a while anyway. You have to see where we're going to in this. I'm going to begin tonight in chapter 8 of the book of Joshua and read again. We never did even really get into this a Sunday. And the Lord be our helper tonight. Joshua chapter 8. I begin reading in verse number. I started last week in verse number 30, but I'm not going to go back through the building of the altar and the way God said build it. We're going to start in verse number 33. Read down through the remainder of this chapter. Joshua chapter 8, verse number 33. You have your Bibles, would like to read with us. If you can, you're able, stand with us tonight as we read the Word of God. Joshua chapter 8, verse number 33. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priest, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the strangers, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal. And Moses, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, listen to this, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the stranger that were converse among them. You can be seated, going to preach, going to continue on the thought, I have victory over the blessings. I want you to notice as we begin to read this Sunday, never did get back to this, but if you'd look at this in chapter 8, as the Lord began to speak, and back, he said, as Moses did before, the same, the altar had been made the same way, and here at Mount Elab and Mount, I can't hardly pronounce his name, Gerizim, there was blessings pronounced, and on one of them half the tribe of Israel stood and pronounced on the Mount Abram, of the cursings of the law. And on Mount Gerizim was the blessings pronounced. Who was it pronounced to? It's pronounced to the children of God. Once that altar had come in effect in their life, Brother Smith, now God said that you're standing before me as my people. And now here's the way God's going to explain it to you. On Mount Abram, there's going to be cursings pronounced if you don't keep this book, if you don't obey the covenant of God, the word of God. But on Mount Gerizim, there's going to be blessings pronounced for everyone that will keep this word. I thought as I begin to look at this, now folks, you got to understand something. Hold it against me if you want to. I'm of the old school. I still believe the old ways. I still believe the old past. But if you noticed here in verse number 33 and down, and even in verse number 35, but he said, and all of Israel, their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side, the ark, and on that side before the priest, the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as strangers, In other words, if it was somebody that didn't even claim to be a part of that or didn't even know their religion, if they're there, I stated a few days back, folks, I don't have anything against folks coming from other countries to America. But I believe when they come here, they had no to try to change the way we believe and our faith in God. I believe as they stated here, Joshua said, as they stood there, they're to worship just like them. The same blessings are pronounced to them if they will walk in the covenant of God, but the same cursings. Folks, we got to have victory over the blessings. I stated last week, if we're not careful, all we ever want to hear in this book is the things that we, so many are say, well, we don't want to speak anything that might be negative. I can tell you they wouldn't have liked Jesus preaching, Brother Smith. They wouldn't have liked Apostle Paul's preaching. They won't like Leo Dye's preaching. Why? I preach out of this same book that Apostle Paul, being part of the New Testament, wrote more of the books in the New Testament than any other writer, but because he is led of the Spirit of God. But listen, folks, as Joshua said here, I believe this word that the Lord was speaking to Joshua, you see, he said in one place back in the book of Numbers, he said, I want you to write the law of God and make it plain. Make it plain. This law is good. This book is good for the judges. I don't know about you, but as God began to impress this upon my heart, Brother Johnny, and I could see here the altar's been made, and he said he didn't want man's things put in it to pollute it. He wanted it to be whole stones. There was to be no iron of man. There's to be no hewn stone of man put in this. And after this altar, the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he said they wrote the law of Moses, engraved it there. I believe as Moses said, God spoke it and said, when you write it plain. Something that God began to burn in my heart, folks. The word of God says we are written epistles, known and read of all men. I believe the word of God, the only word some will ever read, will be what they read in your life, Brother Smith. I believe it's plainer than any other writing, Brother Daryl Kerbo, that we could ever read what they see in our life. As the Lord spoke to Moses and said, when you write it plain. Let it be plain to them. They've engraved this around this altar. There's no better place for us to crave that word and to be molded. If you understand that this altar, as we are to lay ourselves on this altar, and as we begin to die upon this altar, the nature, that newness of Christ is being birthed into us. And as we're coming up, it's being wrote plain in our hearts. I can tell you, folks, as we meditate, no wonder David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Listen, folks, as they stood there, and he said, I want the officers. I want them here. And I said, I'm of the old school. But I don't know, it just kind of does something to me. When you go to these churches nowadays, that they've got a group for everybody. If you're 60 and above, you get over here. If you're 60 and below, or 40 to 60, get over here. And the young adults go out there, and God only knows what they're doing. In most cases, it ain't what God wants, I can tell you. Get mad at me if you will, but I can tell you what Joshua said. Joshua said, what's good for one's good for everybody. It's good for the little ones. In verse number 35, he said, if there's a stranger among you, they're going to be just like those of the homeland. They're going to hear the words of God. They're going to hear the pronouncing of the blessings if we keep this word. They're going to hear the pronouncing of the cursings that's written in this book if you don't keep the word. I never did see Diane take one of the babies in another room to feed them baby food. when they wasn't old enough to eat a pork chop. She didn't take them in the other room. They still sat there. They might have been in the high chair eating green beans, mashed beans, or gravy or something that they didn't have to have teeth to chew up. But they sat right there where we were sitting partaking of the food. Now, call me what you will. Call me old folky, old fashioned. back in the Stone Ages, whatever you want to call me. But I'm here to tell you, if Joshua said these writings that's here at this altar, it's the law, by the way. It's the word of God that was inspired. As God spoke to Moses, God said, this is what you're going to live by to have the victory over the blessing. But this is what you're going to be judged by, and the cursings will come upon you that are in this book if you fail. You see, all through the time of Moses, God began to speak to Moses, and he'd say, tell the children to beware lest they forget God, and they begin to see all these false things that's out there and go after them, and they become a snare and a hindrance to them. I can tell you, folks, I believe that's where the church age is today. We've got away from the true word of God, and we've listened to this and in that one that says if you don't preach it hard, if you're just a motivational speaker, preach the blessing, but don't ever preach the cursings. I'm here to tell you, you may think you're blessed, but you don't have the victory over the blessings if you're not walking in the covenant. If you're not walking in this book, it's not victory over the blessing. The storm just hadn't come yet. You may think you're doing well, but the storm hadn't come yet. When the storm comes, it'll try, won't it? When the fire comes, it'll try to see what you're made of, to see if you can stand. And friend, everything that's not grounded, everything that doesn't desire and enjoy and love, you've got to have a passion for the word of God. I'm not talking about a word. I'm talking about the word of God. I'm not talking about something to make you feel good. I'm talking about the word of God. And if you've got a true passion for the word of God, the Bible says the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter and said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Listen, folks, if we stand on this word, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but his word's going to stand forever. His word's going to stand forever. Here's the officers. Let me just read this again. I want to get every one of them. Get it right. Here's all of those that stood. All of Israel, the elders. I believe what's good for the old is good for the young. What gets us to where we're at is the Lord. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy what? You. While the evil days come not nigh. All of Israel, the elders, the officers, their judges, and the priest, the Levites, the stranger, as well as them that is born among them, and all of these, and down at the bottom says, the women and the little ones. I believe, as Joshua is declaring this, God stated it, sir. If you were to look back into 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you would find that Jehoshaphat's been invaded by the Moabites. And when he didn't know what to do, but he knew the word, what the word of God said, and he said he brought all of Israel with the women and the children and stood before the temple of the Lord. And in that, he said, Lord, you remember, listen, folks, what I'm saying, they brought those little ones there. The New Testament declares, Jesus said, except we become as one of these little ones. I believe we need to teach this in the lives of these little ones. They need to be out here and hear these older ones and sit under sound teachings. Everybody's wanting different ones to go off to schools. I thank the school at Fallen Water be some of the greatest teaching, Brother Johnny McKinley, that a youngster could have, the schooling of the sound doctrine churches around about, some of the greatest teachings and schooling that the little ones could have. Listen, I can tell you in Jehoshaphat's day, those kids that stood there with mama, that they knew, no doubt many of them had heard mom and dad say that night before, more than likely we're going to die in this battle, because they'd heard all the military say, and King Jehoshaphat said, we're not able to come against this great company, and we don't even know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, Lord. You get your eyes on the Lord, and folks, the little ones and generations to come will be able to rehearse that, and they'll say, I remember what Grandpa said, I remember what Uncle John said, I remember what Aunt Nellie said. They'll remember those words when they were at wit's end, what God done when it come to the rescue. If there ever was a day, folks, we need victory over the expectation of the people more than we've ever needed it. I love to please people, but I found out you can't do it. What pleases them today will displease them tomorrow. They're like James said, like a wind that blows. But I can tell you, the same thing that pleased God yesterday will please him today. What does he require of thee, O Israel, but to fear the Lord? And boy, this is the good part, and keep his commandments, walk in his statutes. I tell you, friend, if we want to please God, what it took to please him in the days of old, why did Joshua say, I want the priests, I want the Levites, I want the officers. Our nation would be a whole lot different than what it is today. If you could get the officers, you could get the judges to come in and hear the covenant of God's word and believe it and fear and say, I want to keep the commandments of the Lord. Listen, folks, most of them that take, when they're sworn into office, lay their hand on that book. It's a ritual, means nothing to them. And the majority of them have no intention of keeping what's written in that book. It's just a paycheck and a position of authority. God said to Joshua here, now I didn't say all of them, I said the most of them. There are still a few that fear God. There's still a few that want to please God. There's still a few that won't compromise this word. Folks, now I've stated this a number of times, and I mean this. I'm not looking for a place to preach. Don't put in a good word for me. I'm not looking for a place to preach. Used to I might have been, but I'm not no more, Brother Darrell. If God would dismiss me from this, I'd just rest a while, but he won't do it, Brother Johnny. But I can tell you this, God has delivered me from the expectation of the people. And I love to please people. I'll say it again. But I found out I can't. I can't. I might please some of them for a little while. If you'll scratch their itchy spot, if you'll tickle their funny bones, you can please some people for a little while. I can tell you, Brother Lester rolled off an old Free Will Baptist holiness preacher that was full of the Holy Ghost and power of God. You think I'm strict? That old Baptist preacher strict. He'd preach me under conviction. I stopped at the Dollar Tree. That's probably why I don't feel good. And I bought one of them little old boxes of them, malts or whatever, full of all that sugar with chocolate. My God, I eat them all. And I feel the after effects. It's about to kill me. And Brother Lester Roloff's here, he'd preach me under conviction. You know what he said? He said, all that old sugar and candy's of the devil. And he wouldn't let none of his kids have it. He said, they can't be disciplined. You can't discipline somebody that's full of that stuff. They can't have the caffeine, the coffee, and the pop and the things that'll hype them up. But listen, I'm not a hard preacher at all. Those older preachers that were filled with the Holy Ghost and power, God had delivered them. They had victory over the expectation of the people, and they had victory over the blessing and the cursing. I believe, folks, if we could get back a little bit to where we one time was and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can go back if you will on the other side, but I'm going to serve him to the fullness of my ability. I'm going to believe him for everything that he said. Every dot, every at, every T that's crossed, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to stand on the saith the Lord. I want this younger generation. Judges chapter 2 said, after that Joshua, this is the man we're preaching about. You see, God gave the spirit of Moses to Joshua. He had that compassion and heart for God and for the people. And when God gave the people, gave favor of Joshua to the people, that they honored him like they did Moses, they walked somewhat. Not saying they didn't mess up, not saying that at all, but they walked somewhat in the law of God, in this word that they wrote out and made it plain. They walked in that somewhat as long as Joshua was there. But Judges chapter 2 says that after Joshua and the elders of his generation had died, there arose another generation that knew not the power of God. They didn't know about, Brother Scott, how that God parted the Red Sea, how that God made a way through the Jordan. They didn't know about that. And listen, folks, the very reason they didn't, the cursings of God is upon their lives now rather than the blessings. You can carry the biggest bundle of grapes you want to that came from Canaan, and you can say I'm blessed and highly favored of God all you want to, but I can tell you, if you're not walking in line with this word of God, you're not highly favored. He may bless the sinner somewhat, but you're not highly favored of God if you're not walking in this covenant, in this word of God. And I believe, I try to teach my children, be big enough to confess if you tell a lie, or if you do a wrong. If you wrong somebody, get to a place you can pray through and go and tell them you're wrong. I'm going to tell this. Of course, I tell Diane every time we preach about everything happens. Don't come to my house if you don't want me to preach on you. Because I'm liable to preach on something before you leave. The morning, I don't know. Monday morning, we had a little disagreement, I'll say. Not a real heated disagreement. I just put my foot down and said, that's how it is, and that's how it is. And I left. And the kids was, the other day, I was wanting them to do something. They didn't want to do it. They were wanting to go to a BB shooting tournament. And I said, all right, you ain't going to do this. I ain't taking you to that either. Diane said, all right, kids, get up. We're going. I'll take you to that. No, you're not taking them to that. I done said they ain't going. Diane said, we ain't doing it for you. We're doing it for them. I said, I know who you're doing it for. But I done told them they ain't going because they wouldn't do what I asked them to do last week. They ain't going. If they change and do a little different this week, maybe next week. But they ain't going. And I left. And I didn't get mad. And I didn't say anything out of the way, really. But I went down the road and didn't make it a mile and a half. I picked up the phone and I rang the house. And Diane said, hello. I said, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And she said, yeah, you big baby. And I said, now what are you going to say? And she said, you big baby, and hung up. And she said a few more things. And she never would say she's sorry. And then I got aggravated because I didn't do anything to start with. I just called to tell her I'm sorry because I thought surely that'll motivate her to tell me she's sorry. And I waited a little while and called her back. I'm getting the point across if you'll just listen. I called her back. And I said, have you got anything to say? She said, no. I ain't got nothing to say. And I said, Diane, she said, you're the biggest baby I ever seen. And then I said, well, you better go. I said, you got the Fonzie spirits. What's wrong with you? You don't want to admit when you're wrong. And she said, all right, Leo, I'm sorry. And I said, don't you feel better? Don't you feel better? And then we just both had a big laugh. Now, I'm saying that for this reason. Listen, folks, we're living in a generation that nobody ever takes responsibility of being wrong. Now, I didn't tell you this. It didn't embarrass Diane. We didn't have no big fight, no big squabble, just a little bit of a difference. And I didn't raise my voice as much there as I am right here. As the little boy went home with us, said, we got to go back to church, said, all Leo Dunn's hollered at them folks. I'm hollering more tonight than I did Monday morning. But I just felt bad because I was going to meet my brother, and I thought, well, I need to call her and tell her that I'm sorry. But in the back of my mind, I just knew as soon as I said, she's going to say, honey, I'm sorry, I disagreed with you, and that I told you wasn't doing it for you, but she didn't do that. And then it almost changed the setting, and I'm just about ready to blow up again over this thing, you know. But I said that for this reason. Folks, I believe if we make a mistake, if we say something or do something or be something that we shouldn't be, you look at any of my kids, and I guarantee you, they're always loving on one another. Every one of them. Brother Fred, even the big ones. Micah's next to the oldest that's living, the third child down. And Micah, he just loves on these kids and hugs on them and carries them around. My Lord, if it wouldn't get him down in his back, he'd still be packing Benjamin around. But the kids love one another. Not saying they don't have differences. Men dying, they've seen men dying have little squabbles. They've seen us have differences. But I guarantee you, Brother Scott, it won't be long till every one of the kids they've seen men dying, me more than Diane. Diane, don't show this a whole lot, but I'll hug her up and smooch on her a little bit and tell her I love her. Brother Smith and the kids, I believe it's good for the kids to see a mom and dad showing affections for one another. And it's good for brothers and sisters to see other brothers and sisters showing affections. What are you saying, preacher? Joshua said, don't get the little ones and the wives off by themselves. Bring them right here. This word of God that's going to be proclaimed. Every blessing in this book. I want the judges, the officers. I want the Levites, the priests. I want the stranger. I want the home man or woman. I want everybody to hear what God has to say. Will it be good or will it be bad? That in the days to come, we'll have victory over the blessing. In the days to come, we'll have victory over the curses that's written in this book. There's times that a sis made a statement preaching last night. She said when she's preaching a youth revival in St. Louis, I believe it's St. Louis, wasn't it, or somewhere right around the outskirts of St. Louis, about 2 months ago, first part of June maybe, first week of June, I believe. She's gone for 5 days, and I didn't know anything about this, but she said last night, she come back, and I don't remember if it was on a Wednesday night or what. I believe it was. She preached Sunday. I don't remember, but when she come back, we had already gone, and she said, I cried because they were gone. She said, I just wanted to kiss my babies and hug my babies. She just kisses and loves on the kids all the time. And She said, I cried because I hadn't seen them in 5 days, and I come home and she wasn't there. Now, I believe, folks, this is what Joshua was talking about. There's an affection when we listen to these words that are spoken. The covenant of God's been written out, and it's written plain. It's not a fool couldn't err in this if they just listen with the Spirit, the still small voice of God speaking. It's written plain, Moses said. And if we'll begin to teach it in the lives of the young ones, the strangers that come about, I can tell you, folks, if a stranger comes to my house, I'm no different than I was before he come or she come, whoever it may be. And I believe that's what Joshua was saying. You need to be the same, whether whoever's there, whether it be an officer or a judge. Every one of us, folks, if we're going to have the blessings, if we're going to have the victory over the blessings in this book, or the victory over the cursings, we're going to have to know this book, and we're going to have to love this book. And listen, if someone, I know a lot of times folks have a little problem tolerating or loving or enjoying just good old solid sound teaching. I hear folks, and I have a little bit of problem with this. So, well, they just bore me. I know none of you have ever said that. Now, I'll have to say, they have some preachers that's bored me. But it wasn't because of the word. Most of the time, they're telling stories or trying to be adjusted to Duplantis and funny. I ain't got anything against Jesse Duplantis. I've heard him say some things that was funny. And I ain't against anybody saying things that are funny. But if they preach 5 minutes and tell an hour of funnies, then I got a little problem with that. It's boring to me. I can hear that anywhere. When I come to the house of God, I come to the house of God, folks, to hear the word. That Joshua said, here's how it is. It's been written out before this altar. Have you got any idea why that this word was written before the altar? It was plastered there at that altar. Every word. And that goes on to say, there was not a word that Moses had written that Joshua did not rehearse. He read every bit of it. He rehearsed every bit of it. And if you'll look this out real good, it was written. It was plastered right there before that altar. Listen, folks, when we die and we come up from that altar, we have offered ourselves as a sacrifice. I believe when we get up from there, that word of God that is preached to us, the Joshua that will stand up and proclaim what thus saith the Lord said, it's not to just make somebody feel good, but it's to make them walk right, talk right, live right, and when the day comes to die right, I can tell you, folks, when they look at that word, I can assure you it'll fashion in their heart, it'll mold them and characterize their heart and make a citizen out of them that everybody'd like to have a neighbor like. Won't have to worry about turning their head and losing something out of their yard or out of their garage. They won't have to worry about someone coveting their wife. They won't have to worry about someone false accusing that has been on that altar and has rehearsed that covenant. Every word that Joshua rehearsed here. Folks, I love the blessings of the Lord. David went as far to say, or Solomon, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith. David stated that. But I can tell you, folks, that's the blessings of an individual that has victory over that. And the only way that it does is to walk in this word. If it doesn't walk in this word, rehearse that all you want to, and it's not going to work for you. You might go for a while and not hit a storm, but I'm here to tell you, you've got to walk in the word every day of our life. We've got to let this word be a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. And if we do that, I'm here to tell somebody tonight that, folks, we can have the victory over the blessing and the cursings that's in this book. The victory over the blessing and the cursings that are in this book. Let me turn back and read something right quick. I'm going to try to come to a close here in just a little bit tonight. Don't want to hold you too long. In the book of Deuteronomy, This is where Moses had declared the same thing, an altar of whole stone. And the part of the tribe was on the one mount, Mount Gerizim, pronouncing the blessing, while the other part was on Mount Elab, pronouncing the cursings. And listen what he said in chapter 28. I just want to read a few verses, beginning in verse number 1, going to come to a close here in a little bit. And it shall come to pass, chapter 27 is where you'll find the altar made and the pronouncings of the blessings and cursings. You go all the way down through. He talks about the cursings. The same thing that will cause a blessing, if you reverse it, he said, if you do, you'll be blessed. If you don't do, you'll be cursed. And he goes on, he talks about in the curse, cursed is he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. There's a lot of things that can cause a curse in your life. But I'm going to go down to verse number, chapter 28, verse number 1. Listen to what he said. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, that's constantly, if you will, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all, not part. You can't just put these motivational speakers that just want to talk about things that feel good and don't ever put the light on where folks are. I don't have time for somebody like that. He didn't say just tell them the good things, the blessing parts. But he said to do all his commandments, which I've commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and what? Overtake thee. Now, the first church of the deadhead, the prosper, the bless me, the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, church today, that's all they want to deal with. These blessings are going to come upon you, and they're going to overtake you. You don't have to drive a Volkswagen no more. I might like a Volkswagen. You don't have to drive an old Nissan truck that doesn't have air conditioning. I might like a Nissan truck. I ain't going to say that don't have air conditioning, but that just happened to be what I have. But they're telling you all these things that are false. And the majority of them, folks, are not. They haven't read the first verse here. All the commandments I've spoken, everything that was written of Moses, he said, before that altar, when that man dies upon that altar, when that sacrifice is given, he comes up from there saying, Lord, whatever you bid me to do, I'll do it. Wherever the light shines in my path and I know you're leading, I'll walk therein. Listen what he said. All these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and of the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket of thy store. And blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, if you were to go on over and you begin to read, let me just do that while I'm here. In verse number 15, and it shall come to pass, if thou will not remember me as saying the same thing that brought the blessing, reverse it, it brings the same but curse instead of a blessing. We don't have the victory over the blessing till we walk in the commandment of God's word. But it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and all his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Woo! Now, if I said today, how many of you would like to be overcome with a curse? Oh, my Lord, preacher. Oh, my Lord, overcome with a curse. I'm afraid that's where America's at. We have substituted everything else for the Word of God. And he didn't say to observe to do all these things that you've heard, but to do all these things I've commanded you. And if you don't, listen what he said. The curse will overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Well, it was blessed in the city, wasn't it? Cursed shalt thou be in the field. While it goes blessed, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. While ago it was blessed. What made the difference? It's if we hearken or we don't hearken. It's if we seek him and walk diligently in his statutes, which is continually, or if we don't. It isn't enough to just do it on a Sunday morning. It isn't enough to just do it a Wednesday evening. But we've got to walk in his statutes continually, diligently, constantly. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the land, the increase of thy kind and the flock of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Simply saying, folks, if we're going to be have the victory over the blessings, it'll be to keep the commandments of God. If we're going to have the victory over the curse, it'll be to continuously observe and walk in the statutes of God's Word. I've never seen a time. Now, folks, I'm not telling you at all that I don't make mistakes. Brother Smith, I believe anybody that tell us that we don't make mistakes. I remember a man back years ago, he's done gone on, I believe, to be with the Lord. But he'd get aggravated if folks says that you sin. And he says, I do not sin. Well, inside, I didn't want to rebuke an elder, but inside I'm saying, you're sinning now, you're lying.
Yeah, come on, that's true. That's right.
You're lying. Yeah. I got news for everybody. There's never been but one sinless man walk upon the face of this earth, and his name was Jesus. His name is Jesus. And when he walked here, he walked above sin. But there's a human nature in you and I that we have problems keeping under control. And sometimes, not saying that I'm proud of it, but sometimes. Now the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I don't know if it's me said this or somebody else, but I'm going to say it now. But I have a hard time of being angry and not sinning. Now if you do, God bless you. After a while, I want to shake hands with you. But when I get angry, sometimes I want to wring somebody's jaws. Or I want to tell them how stupid they are. Or something like that. Or, you know, somebody had, I ain't going to say who said it the other day about somebody having a word they had to say, a little road rage. You know, you idiot. Or something like this. And I don't know where this ever come about, but I've been called down for this many times. You Sunday driver. And Diana say, Leo, shut your mouth. Do you know what you're saying? I'm just telling you, I have a little problem when I get angry not sinning. Well, now I'm not saying that's a sin that would separate us, send us to hell. But I'm telling you, when I get mad and I let this old unruly member run out of tail, get out of jail and start telling things, saying things that I hadn't ought to say, folks, something's wrong. And if I see somebody and they make me aggravated and I say, well, you idiot. You know what the Bible says about calling somebody a fool? Says you're in danger of hell.
That's right. That's what the Bible says.
Just for calling somebody a fool. Why is that? Because he says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When you call a person a fool, you're calling him an infidel, saying that there is no God. I believe, folks, that every one of us could say, I've stated over and over in this message and these series of messages for the last 2.5 months. It's one thing to get the victory, but it's another thing to keep that victory.
Yes, it is. That's right.
While the children of Israel is before that altar and the covenant of God's being rehearsed, it's no problem to keep the victory.
Right.
As long as we stay before that altar,
yes, and
the covenant of God is being rehearsed in us, it's being reality to us, we have no problem keeping the victory. Thank you, brother. But if we get away from that altar and we start losing ground and we lose vision of all, it's not enough to just keep part of. Everybody wants to talk about the bless me parts. But I can tell you, folks, if we don't keep the book, the blessings ain't going to overtake us. But the cursing will. That's what the book said. That's what the book said. Somebody come get us a song tonight. We're going to open these altars. Sister Pamela, you got to.